I don't find him there. So I'll have to continue to do my duty. So beloved, last first Sunday there was something. I just want to test your memory to see whether I should continue to speak today or not. All right. Can anybody, including the children, tell me? I'm going to call. Who is there? Where's Joe? Joanne? Oh, Joanne. You remember last time I asked you something when we left? Something you remember from last week? Last time.
About joy.
Yeah?
About joy.
About joy. We are close to it, not yet there. Yeah. You're right about joy. At least I'm glad he remembers. Okay, about joy. Oh, I started with the benediction. Okay, right, which I'll be doing today also. All right, yes, started with the benediction. Yes, joy. You know, I remember just walking out. You know, I was just wanting to know. I just wanted to know. Oh God, what about the children? Did they get something? So I caught hold of Johan and asked him, "One, is there something you understood?" And he just blurted out, "He said hope," and my day was met because I know that one day that verse will come back to him, and when he is hopeless, he will remember somebody spoke about hope from the word of God. Let me look at it. Let me look at it. And you know the power of that verse. Okay. So I'm just giving a teaser here, but it's good for us to think and reflect and see what we learn. We're not going to learn everything every day, right? We won't remember everything that we read every day. It is natural for us to forget. God understands that. Alright, it is not an abacus class where we will have to somehow memorize and find some way. No, it's not that way, right? But it's good that we look at it, okay? So we started with the benediction. Anybody remember the verse? Which book was it from, the benediction? Revelation chapter? Where was it? Romans, yes. What was it? Do you remember the verse? I mean, or the chapter? Yeah, he gave?
Three people gave the reference.
Oh, really? What was it? Is the verse? 15? 13. Alright. So, what was it? Anybody can add to it? He talked about some joy. Hope, somebody said. Alright, I'll just repeat it so that you remember it, okay? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. When does that happen? When will he fill you with all joy and peace? Yeah? Yeah, believing little more than that is a practical thing to do. As you trust, believing, I mean the verses say that, yes, believing, some of the verses say that, but as you trust in him, you see, as you trust in him, then all joy and peace will fill you. As you trust in him, so that you may, what happens? So that you may be kind of approximately 100% filled? No. So that you may overflow with hope. And that how? It ends by saying, by the power of God. That was the beauty of it. Oh my God, I thought it is me who brings that hope. I thought it is my hard work and my capability, my studies, my marks. I thought it is my capability of running my business, my family, that brings that hope. He says, no, it is by the power of God, which takes away all our burden. Right? Somebody else now owns it. Right? Isn't it beautiful, beloved? I'm just trying to remind us, okay, that's not the passage that I'm going to take here. Right? But I just want to remind you, because I don't want you to forget it. I want him to learn more than just the hope. Today, Johan said about joy, and slowly he will remember that verse and it will be his. And that will be a verse that God will speak to him. I'm just picking him up. I know many of you, God will be speaking through that verse. Alright, today I want to start with not a benediction, but one of the, coincidentally, this week for the quiz, I am supposed to, Brother Ebenezer had entrusted me and my family to build that, you know, quiz thing and all. Okay, so we've been going through Hebrews 13. Okay, there's one verse which is very close to my heart, Hebrews 15, 13. Sorry, 13, 15. Okay, if somebody could read it aloud. 13, 15.
Through him.
Yeah.
Then let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise.
Yeah, notice each word. Okay, through him. Let us then.
Through him, then let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God.
Yeah.
That is through the place that acknowledges his name.
Yeah, it's very simple verse, okay. Through him, who is him? Jesus Christ. If you look at the context, it is Jesus Christ. Just before that, it talks about Jesus Christ, you know, taken out of the camp and crucified for us. Let us also go and bear that shame with him, and then it says through Jesus, I'm filling it there, let us, when? Sunday after Sunday? Continuous meaning what? How do you praise when you are sleeping? Something is wrong with the word of God. No? Let us continue. You get the point, right? God speaks to us. You know, sometimes we ask very difficult questions to God, but God answers in very simple terms, and then we fail to understand because we want complicated answers. We are looking for those words. You know, God, I asked you the questions in these terms, you have to answer me back in that terms. God will just answer in a very simple, down-to-earth terms and say, my son, you only need to believe. Don't question. You just need to believe. Right? Continually. Meaning what? God knows. God knows. He is only saying that, you know, we are prone to not continually do something. And so he says, reminds you, you know, not just Sundays, not just Sunday afternoon, not just for Sundays, continually, every day, not just on your birthdays, not just on good days, not just a day that you feel like doing, continually do what? Let us continually do what? Offer up a sacrifice, an offering of sacrifice of what?
Praise.
You know, beloved, I remember some time back, I forget the person's name, is a missionary. He came to Mumbai, and then we were having a short session, and then he just sat. He's a doctor who's been in mission work for a long time and doing a lot of service. He said, you know, actually our entire story, there's only one thing to sum up all these things. It's just this: to be grateful to God. Nothing else we can do. Our life in Christ is just an expression of our gratitude to Him. That is why Hebrews 13 ends. You know, Hebrews is a tough chapter, tough book, like Romans. Hebrews is a tough one. There are some tough passages there also, which even we will not be able to distinguish now and say for sure what it is. But still, what I'm trying to say at the end of it, Hebrews chapter, that's why, you know, when I sent the WhatsApp message, I sat and thought and said, I don't want to call it a quiz. I want to just say, enjoy Hebrews chapter 13. And when I looked at it, I just saw, it's just one instruction of the other. Till that chapter, it is all about, and you see from the beginning, we look at some of those things just as a reminder. From the beginning, it talks about, you know, God in various ways in different times wanted to reveal. He spoke to you, but he tried to. At the end of it, he sent his son. At the end of it, through prophets, he sent prophets. He did miracles. He raised people from the dead. But people rebelled. God's people rejected. God's people refuse to believe. And when we say God's people, it is us, beloved. For a minute we shudder. I'm included. Yes, yes. It is we. It is you. That's what, you know, last first Sunday, what was the topic, main topic, that, what was the video that we saw? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In fact, when Derek was asking me for a topic, I was trying to scramble. I said, no, just put, I nailed him there. Brother Sunil, you nailed him there. Saumini Aunty, you nailed him there. Benson, you nailed him there. Sunil, you nailed him there. Yes, I nailed him there too. Sandhya nailed him there. My mother-in-law nailed him there. Pastor nailed him there. Right? The moment we recognize that, we begin to see that we need a Savior, and we begin to see the power of the gospel, our need for salvation, and so on. Okay, coming back to the point here, let us continually offer up an offering of thanksgiving. Actually, to sum up, the only thing that God expects from His people is gratitude. In whatever way that you can do it, but do it with all your heart. That's the first commandment. You know how you show your gratitude to God? With all your... Yeah, you. The only way you can show gratitude to somebody, to love with all my strength, all my mind, and all my, you know, whatever. I want to run for you, I want to do this, I want to sit up for you, I want to lack my sleep, I mean, not sleep for you, I want to do everything. I want to write the best poem for you, I want to... Gratitude. But you need to know what you have got to be able to be grateful, isn't it? Otherwise, we will be thinking, oh, that brother, he built a new house, so he has reason to be grateful. But, you know, I'm still waiting for that, you see. Still waiting for that. Oh, that's what I'm saying. MDBS admission. തോട്ട് തോട്ട് ഇങ്ങനെ ഇരിക്കുകയാണ്. ഒന്ന് പാസ്സായി കഴിഞ്ഞാൽ നമുക്കൊരു പാർട്ടി വെക്കാം. സോറി, വാട്ട് ഐ സേയിങ് ഈസ് യുനോ, വി കമ്പയർ ആൻഡ് വി സേ യുനോ, യെസ് 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 യെസ്, ഇഫ് ഐ ബിക്കം ലൈക് ജോഹാൻസ് ഫാമിലി ദെൻ ഐ ഹാവ് റീസൺ ടു താങ്ക് ഗോഡ് ഫോർ. നോട്ട് യെറ്റ്, നോട്ട് യെറ്റ്, നോട്ട് യെറ്റ്, നോട്ട് യെറ്റ്. Because I am waiting for something more. Beloved, you need to understand and I need to understand what we have received. The worth of what we have received in Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's the beginning point. You know, all the more. I've told you last time I mentioned one thing which, you know, might have, question mark in your mind. I told you that today I am far less confident in Christian life than I was 22, 24 years back. And that is not bad, it is good for me. It only shows my incapability. It only shows that all the more I am grateful for the love of Jesus in my life. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about remember your leaders who did what? Who spoke to you the word of God. Observe the outcome of their faith and imitate them. Again, it talks about leaders there. Little more down, it talks again something about leaders. What? Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Why? Yes. Yes, they have to give account for us. You know, see the beauty of the church? A church is not just a place where you go and sing and come back. A church is not just a place where on Sunday morning you would come and rejoice and go back. A church is an accountable body of our Savior. There is an accountability there. And that's not a difficult... See, accountability in the office is a difficult term because you have rulers there. You have people there who will manipulate you. There are people there who for their profit will get you to do hard work and labor and things like that. But not so in the church of God. If it is there, it got to be corrected. Right? But in the church of God, the chief shepherd of the sheep, that is also there, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20. It says the chief shepherd of the sheep. Who is the chief shepherd of the sheep? Jesus Christ. We have His body. We exist here as a church because He is our head. Yet God has placed leadership there. God has placed pastors there. God has placed so that we are accountable. So we have to submit to them. You know why? Not so that, you know, they'll become great, but because they have a great burden. God has entrusted the elders and the deacons or the elders or the leadership or the pastor a responsibility to say, take care, feed my flock. Take care. If something is going wrong, don't say all things are well, peace be with you. You know what he tells about the shepherds in the Old Testament? In the shepherds in the Old Testament, he says, my shepherds have gone wrong. They say peace, peace when there is no peace. Because they want to address itching ears, what they want to hear. Right? I know I'm saying a lot of things here, but I want to also take, you know, not just during the quiz. Okay, one of my intents here is also, we've been doing Hebrews, so kind of relate with some of the passages and the verses that are there in Hebrews chapter 13 also. Come back to the verse that I was talking about. Let us therefore continually offer a sacrifice. Our only offering possible back to God is gratitude. It is to say, you know, oh, why have you blessed me this much? Beloved, I can without doubt say, I know all of us have troubles. I know many of us are sick. I know many of us have troubles in our home. But still, I am 100% sure that you have one reason to be grateful to Jesus Christ. You have. You have. If you have not, it is because you have not sat to think. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, remember them, the first love that is lost. Remember then, he says, the antidote to lack of gratitude is actually not searching somewhere. It is just to sit and remember. God only says, remember from what you have fallen. Just think you've forgotten. You have forgotten. Remember. Remember. And give thanks to God. You have reason to be grateful to God. Not in comparison with other people. we have enough reasons to give thanks continually to God above everything. That's one thing that we'll talk about. About everything is our salvation from sin, forgiveness, which there is no other name given under heaven by which man will be saved except the name Jesus Christ, because he alone has given his perfect, blemishless life on the cross for you and me, because we nailed him there. Perfect, blemishless, he gave it to us. That alone is sufficient for us to be grateful all our life to God. But let's say, for instance, you didn't get a hang of it yet. It is okay, you are still getting a hang of it yet. There are umpteen other things for which you can be grateful to God. Number one, you rose up from your home and came here, right? You drove your car unhindered and came here, right? You might have taken an auto rickshaw and come here safe, right? I'll tell you, if we would read the statistics, you'll be shocked. Probably if God will lay down and say, today, between the time that we started worship and now, how many kids have lost their lives? How many men and women have got divorced? How many men and women are struggling because of death, sickness, or pain? Just within the few minutes between you getting up and coming. Forget about it. Seconds is enough. Seconds are enough. Beloved, the fact that we... I don't remember. Is Kiran here? No, right. Kiran in the one, no. Parkis uncle? Ethila, he's not yet well. Okay, Kiran was sick yesterday and then he's getting... Is he better? Okay, so he's still... There's a little bit of urinary tract or some issue is there and there's pain. So we are sitting together and talking, and one of the things that came to my mind is this. You know, earlier... For a long time, you know, I used to start thinking of praying or giving gratitude to God only for major things. For instance, you are down with the flu for 1 week and then you think about giving glory to God, right? Or there is a, I had a bulge and I was down for about 4 weeks. Okay, so me having a bulge, imagine, I'm just 47 kilograms, okay? But so it can happen with anybody, right? So it's not to do with weight and things like that, okay? It's just because my muscle is not there. But what I'm trying to say is, in such cases, we know because we are in hospital and we have trouble and the doctors don't know what to do and there is no scanning machine here and this and that, and say we cry out to God and we have reason to that. But what about the small things that God cares for you? Okay, today you are sitting here without a flu only because God, Jesus Christ, has commanded that Lakshmi, my daughter, who is mine. I read from Malachi earlier, right? You are mine, my daughter, and I have commanded and said, no bacteria, no virus shall go into her today. Thus far. That is why you are healthy. Not because you have taken your vitamin 6. That is there. Yes. But it is because God has ordained that let the vitamins work. Okay, let her be well, because she has to run miles to go before I sleep. Miles to go. There are things to do before your last breath. God loves you. God cares for you. God needs you. God uses you. That is why. I have studied and done certain things and I'm working in this place because God has a plan and purpose for me to be there for some reason and corollary, many things around it. That is why I'm there. Not because I was born into a good family or wealthy family and was able to study well and then got into a good college and went and things like that. No. We need to understand this. We need to grasp this. It has to begin with me. Because if I say all these things to you and if I am just beating in the air, it is useless. Come back to that verse. Let us therefore offer up sacrifice of praise. Yeah,
that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge.
Yes, you know how it comes. It doesn't come. That is why it's not rhetoric. It is not because somebody said, hey, hallelujah, praise to you. I don't like to do that. I will not raise my hand if I don't feel like it in the church, but I'll raise my hand even if nobody else likes it. Yeah, really. Not that I'm not offending you. You understand my point. Right? If I like, I will do. If I like. Right? But I'll be careful if I jump and dance so that not to distract somebody else. But there are times I do it. not in the church. Okay, in my privacy. Because times when joy will overcome you, not because of some miraculous thing, you just sheerly think. You know, the one thing that constantly frightens me, I keep telling you, there are times when I just say, oh my God, nee endinaanu enne ithrayum anugrahichirikkunnathu. It frightens me. You know, on one side, it is that fear. Oh, is it the lull before the storm? Oh, is it kanjal vela sambhavikyo? Is God just waiting to discipline? No, that is a false thing. God loves you. All He wants is you just dare to come back to Him and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Use me more. My life is yours. I belong to you. My breath belongs to you. My intelligence belongs to you. My body belongs to you. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Use me. As far as I can run, I will run. By your power I will do. You know, even that, there is a verse, I think in Proverbs 10 and Psalms also, I think it says, right, God makes my legs like the hind's feet. He doesn't say elephant's feet. Do you know why? Can an elephant run? How much fast can, even though they are fast and they run? You know how a hind jumps and runs? Well, if you see in National Geographic, I have not seen in real life, so I have to rely on National Geographic. You just see the tall grass there and poink, 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 and then going on. In fact, chasing it is a puma. And then you see that great movie scene in which it's running and running, and suddenly turn here and turn here and the deer is gone. Stag is gone, and the puma or the panther is looking, where is it gone? God created the stag, God created the hind to show His children, to say, man, I want to make your leg like that. You might be 92 years old, but I will still make you healthy enough if you will love me. If I have a plan and purpose for you. I know of a gentleman who on the day he died, he was 94, I think, when he passed away. I'll leave the name unsaid because many of you know that name. Okay, but on the day he died at 94, he prepared for his message for his Bible class. That is beautiful, isn't it? At that age, he is preparing and he is going for a Bible class. He is not staying at home and, oh no, my God, what happened? My children not here, this not there. It's not because, you know why? Because he's a man who fears God. Not because he is a great, athlete and then he tried and in his younger days he really, worked out and did like that. No, he's a man of God. God decided, my child, you are mine. I'm going to use you. Your last breath is at the age of 94. But on that day, before you go, I'm going to... In fact, one of my aunties, I was shocked. One of my aunties, I don't know the name, maybe I'll ask Baby Milutankri sometime, part of Gideon's ministry somewhere in Adur. Okay, that auntie after a long time spoke to me, then I came to know that's part of that. I said, Bane, in the Etto Milia Sandosham, and the Prathi, and the Prasangichon, in the stage, I'm so glad. You know what she said? She was a widow and she's telling me, saying that, my joy is that my husband was preaching the word of God when he had a heart attack and he fell on the stage. When they took him to the hospital, he was dead and gone to be with the Lord. I am glad. And what is that? You begin to see that. Let us therefore offer up a sacrifice of praise continually, right? And which is fruit of? Fruit of lips. It's a fruit. It's not something that's a rhetoric. That's my point. It's a fruit. It's got to start somewhere else. And then it wells up and it'll come through your lips. It starts here by thinking, what is it my God has done for me? What is the meaning of salvation? What is the meaning of my life? Where have I gone wrong? I need to repent. It begins with thinking, understanding. That is why it's the parable of the sower, the first set. What is it? What is the fault with the first set? On the wayside, what happens? Huh? Yeah, birds came. But what is the meaning that Jesus gives? What happened to that? The disciples don't understand it, just like us. And then he went, please explain to us. And Jesus said, you know what, the birds, what is that? They did not grehipanyal, because they did not listen and understand, the devil came and took it away. That's why you need to pay attention when the word of God is shared. Because actively there is the devil working to distract you. you must understand, I must understand. When we sit to pray at home, do you know why suddenly the sleep comes? It is not just natural. Of course, there is a natural aspect at 12 a.m. if you do. You know, it is possible, or after a long day, or you know, you will feel sleepy. But there is an active blockage to turn away your attention. Because the devil knows the first step is the word of God coming into your mind. And when you are willing to listen, then one step is met. The devil can't do much after that. But one easy thing he can do is distract you and make you forget. And we don't need to do that, because God is there with us. The only thing we need to be saying, oh God Almighty, your word, I have come here to listen. That's why, you know, I kept saying this, I'll remind you again. I told you last time also, there's one selfish thing that all believers can do. What is that selfish thing? To say, God, I want blessing. Whether anybody else got blessing, it doesn't matter. I want your blessing. When I come to church, I want to feel and know and taste of your love in some way. Let others do if they want, but I want. I want to learn. I want to receive, Lord. I will not let the devil take away what is there for me. See, that's a beautiful prayer we can pray. Lord, I want God. Jacob prayed that, said, God, bless me. I will not leave you without you will bless me. Right? Fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. I told you that thanksgiving cannot come, that sacrifice cannot come unless we start to think. That is why I said in Revelation 3, the antidote for falling away from the love of God, the first love, is remember then what you have fallen. That's the first thing. If you don't remember, it's just be, you know, an exercise. You'll try some exercise and go back, but you never understood what you did. You never understood what you failed in. You never understood what you have to come back to. You just simply just obeyed. Somebody said, raise your hand, say hallelujah, thanksgiving. Somebody said, come to church. Somebody pulled you to church, came and went back. It is empty. You've got to start thinking. You've got to start thinking. That is why, you know, Paul says, make every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, we bring it to subjection under Christ. Every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, we demolish what? Arguments. How do you demolish arguments? It is not by arguing, it is by praying. It is by imparting the power of God to say in the name of Jesus, somebody praying for you saying, remove the blindness from that brother's eye, remove that blindness from that sister's eye, remove that blindness from the child's eye. We demolish arguments. Our weapons of warfare is not that of the world. Right? It's the spiritual weapons that we have. But we demolish what? Arguments. Because it starts in the mind. Our mind blocks. That is why in Hebrews again, we'll see, I don't know whether it's Hebrews chapter 6 or somewhere down there, it's there saying that beware, do not have an evil unbelieving heart which will cause you to fall away. Evil unbelieving heart. You know, unbelief is summed, equated to evil. That's frightening, right? Because many areas in our life we have unbelief, right? Devan paranju pashe njan enikku pediya. God has promised, but I don't care, I'm going this way. Evil, unbelieving. You are not willing to believe, because the word is not a human word. The word is the word of God. Deva Vajanam, it will never pass away. That is why God reminds us, saying that not a dot of it. In fact, I understand, maybe pastors have not learned Greek or Hebrew, but say that not an iota means it's like that dot on top of the eye, similar to that. I mean, even the so-called meaningless part of it. Most of us fail to put the dot, even then we read it as I. But Jesus is saying, for me that dot is important. I put it there and it will not pass away. It will never move away. That's the word of God. So if God has promised you, if God tells you this is the state of your life today, you are sinning against me, it means you are sinning against him. And if you are feeling guilty about it, it's time that we meet our Savior and say, oh my God, I have failed you. There is no way out. But that's the right approach, because before God we are laid bare. And when we repent and turn to him, Jesus, the advocate, is what? He is just and faithful to do what? 1 John? To forgive our sins. To forgive our sins. You begin to see that. So, The fruit of lips, where does it start? It starts with thinking, understanding, grihikanam. There we can question. You know, there was a time in my life, because I come from a Christian background, there was a time when I used to go to church, come back and things like that, because, you know, I believed it implicitly and went. I never bothered to question my faith. Okay, and then I also found it a little awkward to question the faith, because how can you question God? How can you question the faith which is handed down from my father and mother? Right? It's okay. That must be right. And things like that. Until a time when I read from Isaiah, when God says, come let us reason together. You put your case. Very important. Imagine God telling you. Can you imagine that God who is infinite, the God who created you, He can take your breath away. He is the author of life. The God who is the consuming fire. That God, He says, my child, I want you to come and see. Even my father doesn't do that, by the way. One day my father will testify before you. That time it will be another story. But the point is, you know, I never am able to have a meaningful conversation for so many years with my father, eye to eye. Because for him it is, who are you? I mean, you are like, I'm experienced. I'm here 70 years, 50 years, more than you, whatever it is. How do you know about life? You don't know anything about life. Who are you to tell me? That's the, it's ended. The argument is ended there. Right, but God, infinite God, He's saying, no, I am setting the table. You come and tell me the case. He's not playing with us. He's saying, if you really have a case, I will give you the benefit of that. And He's done that in scripture. Now that is not a doctrinal contradiction, but it is something that is unimaginable. It is something that we can fathom. For example, when Moses cried out for the people of Israel, God repented of his decision to destroy them. And that is true. For us, it's only enough for us to believe it and know that God does change in that sense. Okay, I'm putting in quotes. For us, in our finitude, in our finiteness, we need to know that when I pray, God's hand moves. God wants you to know that. Sometimes, you know, we just jump a little bit on the other side and start thinking, oh God, I've understood a little more about God. God doesn't change. So, you know what happens? Unbelief sets in. Because now you seem to know better than God. God only said, you pray, I will answer. Call unto me, I will answer. Yes, the God of heaven said, call unto me, I will answer. Why should God answer you and me? Puny little creatures who are unfaithful. But God said that. I will call you my possessions. You know, we need to stand on this side and know that we are just mere human beings. What God said is exactly true. I can bend his hand in that sense of it, right? Because even that prayer of that woman, right? What does Jesus teach about prayer? She says, be like that woman who nagged the judge. Nagged him into answering the prayer. And he's talking about prayer. You know, we don't need to think. We just need to think. You know, who gets things? The one who asks. You know, to whom the door gets opened? The one who will knock. You know whom? That's why Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Knock. And you know, sometimes we think very complicated. You know, I also have not been praying much on those verses, because at some point I thought that I know better than, you know, that, you know, to say, because, you know, I don't have any more the confidence to ask, because I feel I have to ask according to his will, and his will is different. Now let me find the will and things like that. That's fine. We have to continue to pursue that. But the point is, today where are you? You ask. In the faith that you have, you ask. And God will teach you. He will answer you. He will encourage you. He will teach you. He will give you. Come back to that verse, beloved. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Fruit of lips that acknowledge Him. Actually, is it in simple? It's just saying acknowledge Him. But we need to be careful in the meaning of acknowledge. You know, the best place to look at it is Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. Can somebody read it from there? Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord.
Yes.
With all your heart.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
And do not lean on your own understanding.
And do not lean on your own understanding.
In all your ways.
Acknowledge Him. He will make straight your path. God is so graciously saying, you know, He only says, Mone, you trust in me. But then God knows that we are sutrakar. You know, when He says trust in you, we have many ways of trusting Him. We have many ways of, you know, kind of thinking that we are trusting Him. No, God says no. That is why He clarifies, you know, what He says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Will children understand that language? Yes. As adults, we don't understand because that is too simple, right? All you understand. If you say that, you know, trust in the Lord from the left ventricle to the right auricle, whatever, and, you know, from the aorta to this and all, then, okay, God is, you know, I think He knows something. Now we will listen to Him. No, God says, no, children, unless you turn and become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what He means. He doesn't mean that, you know, something doctrinally wrong or anything like that. He just says that, man, you simply understand. I'm telling you to trust me with all your heart. You understood it. Why are you acting as though you didn't understand? Actually, we are acting. We know what He means. Nammada ishtangala, nammada karyangala, nammada ishtanishtangala, illam devathin. We have to, sorry Brother Steve, I keep saying in Malayalam, but I'll say it in English and you will soon learn more Malayalam. So the thing is, you know, God knows our heart. He knows we are frail. He knows we are dust. He knows that we have things in our life which even we don't know. And He knows that. So He explains it very clearly. He says, trust in me. But when you do that, remember, it's all, not part. It's not the important things alone. It's everything. It's not just, you know, these things and not that thing. No. It's not just after retirement, it is from the beginning of your life onwards you have to trust in Him. Right? As far as you can think, start trusting in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Again, He is saying, you know, something happens to typical human beings like you, whom I have created, I love you, you know, but, you know, something you do sometimes is, you know, once you get educated or, you know, once you get a little bit of confidence and once you have, you know, done that once or twice, you become confident and you start leaning on your insight. You won't know, you won't recognize because the devil will keep you happy there. You know, you will continue to lean on your insight and somebody else, friends will be there who will encourage you and they will say, continue brother, very good. Lean, keep leaning because we are all leaning and it's just fine. God says, don't lean on your insight. Why? You know why? Is God a sadist? God is jealous that, oh, this guy, if he leans on his insight, he will overtake us. You know why? It's corrupt, man. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. It's broken. It'll take you only till tomorrow. It'll not take you beyond that. God sees infinite. It'll take you only to your immediate future. You are thinking and worrying about your children. You are thinking and worrying about their education. You are thinking and worried about it. I see much more, beloved. Don't. Just trust in me. Lean not on your own insight. Of course, use your insight which I have given. But lean on me. Use that, but lean on me. It's not an easy thing. It's something that you have to think and say, oh my God, am I really leaning on you? We have to ask. Nobody else can ask for us. Okay, lean not on your insight. What is the next one? In all your ways. Again, He used the word all. Because He still knows that, you know, at the end of it, we will not lean on our insight, but all your ways is difficult. Sometimes, you know, we feel that we know a little more better than that. No, we have to know that God knows well. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. The same verse which is said here, Hebrews 13:15 says what? He says, a fruit of lips that acknowledge Him. And it's simple. Acknowledge means, you know, what is the practical meaning of acknowledge? It's like saying, okay, I come here and the TM Joseph uncle is here and then I just go like this and then go there, pass by him. I'm not acknowledging him. But if I say, oh, uncle, hi, and then go, I'm acknowledging. That's all I did. I never worshipped him. I never did any service to him. I only acknowledged him. And so what my behavior changes because he is there. Or pastor is here. I acknowledge him. So he is there, so I cannot just do what I want. Right? I cannot just keep preaching and preaching. I know that. I acknowledge he is there. If he was not there, I would have continued. Okay? And doing it. You understand? So God is only asking that. God is just saying, man, stop all your outward service for me. You think you are doing me service. It's of no value, man. You just come to me. You just come to me. You just come to me. You begin to trust me. You begin to hope in me. You begin to lay down your life transparently before me. You begin to acknowledge who you are. You know it. You know it, but you don't want to acknowledge. Acknowledge. Acknowledge before God that you have failed, you are weak, it is fine, that's exactly what I want. I came to seek and save the lost, I did not come to call the righteous, Jesus says. In fact, sometimes I wonder, no, if you actually take the harsh words of Jesus, He spoke harsh words, you know, it's almost next to abuse, I would say. Not only Jesus, even John the Baptist. You know what He called the religious leaders when they came? Would you call that to the worst sinner in this church? Would anybody dare to call? Pastor, will you call? Sarpa sandadiya vilikyo. Vilikyano actually. You should call me if you feel that, because that's the truth, right? What is the truth? Why is sarpa santatigale? Because you claim to be righteous when you know that you are not. You claim you are a fake one. You are lukewarm. You are not hot nor cold. You are fit to be spewed out of the mouth. Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Philadelphia, he says. That's what you are fit for. Salt is gone. Saltiness is gone. Fit for what? Trodding under the feet. It is useless. No fruit on the branch. Fit for what? Cutting, not just pruning, cutting. Father cuts it off and burns it in fire. It's that. But why are you acting? Acknowledging God means what it means. It is simple. It is clear. Beloved, I want to encourage you today. Okay, we came back. I have just touched on one verse. That is Hebrews chapter 13, 15. I keep repeating so that you will remember. Johan, this time you have to remember this. I am joking. Okay, thank you for being my bakra. Okay, children, all listen. I am going to ask you. How many of you listened? You listened? Great. Okay, I will ask you after this. Okay. Okay, so beloved, I want to encourage you. See, at the end of all this, it is not about coming to church and going back feeling good. Or it is not just about, okay, oh great message, good, fine. No. Beloved, it is the, my Jesus, what is it that you have blessed me today? And in that blessing, because God is a good father, it includes some things which are a little bit painful, because you know what? He says, there is a special verse in the Bible which talks about messages that are shared one to one. 2 Timothy chapter 3:15. Can anybody say that by heart? Any children? 2 Timothy 3:15 are you? I know you know. It's only probably the verse. Anybody? 2 Timothy 3, all scripture? Yes, all the scriptures God breathed, you remember?
So for teaching, correction.
Okay, pardon, it's okay.
Oh, correcting, disciplining, teaching.
I never heard encouragement yet. Correcting, disciplining. Blessing illa nada. There's no blessing there. No, all scripture, that means the scripture given to us, the 66 books that are preciously given, that which we pray for translations in many languages, because they don't have it, we have it. We have it in Hindi, Malayalam, Tamil, Telugu, whatever you want, you have it. You want in Greek and Hebrew, that's also there. But our poor Bondo tribe or those Kuvi Kupia Konda, they don't have that. So our brothers are struggling. That's why we prayed for them, because they are trying to bring that word of God into their hands, in their language, so that they will read, they will believe, they will receive it, and their lives will be transformed, and they will become a blessing to the nation. So the word of God, I would encourage, is for us to receive it and say, Jesus, what is it that today you wanted to teach me? Ask that. Don't go out saying, George, oh, the excellent message, that is fine, you go. Don't say, Pastor, that was an excellent message, and go. Say, Lord, what is it? What is it that God has blessed me with? And all scripture, verse 3, 2 Timothy 3:15 says, all scripture in God breathed. It wants to remind you that this is not human breathed. It is not human ideas put together. It is your Creator who knows your heart then and now. Remember that. It is not just 2000 years ago when the scripture was formed, God knew our heart. No, God knows George Matthew's heart right now. He knows how much of genuinity that I have while I am preaching. He knows that. He knows where I am going to fail tomorrow. He knows where I am going to be strong. He knows that as well. That God who knows my thoughts now and beyond and past, that God is saying, all scripture which you are reading, is I have breathed into it. It is alive. It is not dead. And so it is profitable for a few things. What is it profitable for?
Teaching.
That's exactly what we are doing, right? Teaching, right? There are some things that you are taught today by God's grace. The Holy Spirit is teaching you as we just are servants serving. We are serving you the word of God in the best possible way that we can explain. And the Holy Spirit is your teacher, and he knows your heart. He begins to prod you, and he does a few things there. Teaching, yes?
For reproof.
Reproof. Oh, okay. There it gets a little difficult. Then?
For correction.
Yeah. So reproof and correction, maybe slight difference. I'll just leave it there and go, but you can go back and look at it. Reproof is something like barakubaraya. Stop it! Enough! You dare not continue like this. You are my child. I have my seal upon you. How dare you continue to live like this? Correction is, can you repent and say, oh my God, yes Lord, now what should I do? God graciously corrects. He says, come back, I'll set you right. I love you so much. Doesn't matter what your past is, your lost years I will replace. Beloved, do you know that? I just want to say that as well. You must believe. These are things that our intellect will not allow you to believe, but you must believe. I do believe it wholeheartedly. I am an engineer, I am a scientist, I have learned, I have done everything like that, but I am still telling you, I believe it as it is. I still believe today that there are times when God restores the lost years in a miraculous way. He does not need to do it in a justified way where we can explain. He'll do it in a miraculous way. It will really, really, you'll be stunned at it. To say, oh God, Master, I lost all these years in my studies and my this, but I've overtaken some of my peers. Let me tell that also. I've not told you, have I? Sandeep and Amma, with your permission, I want to tell Prashov's story. Okay, Prashov is Sandeep's brother. Okay, so I'm going to tell it as bluntly because it's for the glory of God. It is saying like, you know, let me tell you my story. I've never failed an exam. I've reasonably got good marks. I've gone from college to college, good college, ended up in engineering, did my post-graduation, got into one of the best companies in India, still working there. Okay, that's my story. Okay. Prashav, what is the story? Amma knows. Right? Prashav did not know the Lord many years ago. A father, my poor father-in-law, had given donation, sent him to somewhere back, Mysore, to study. Unknown to them, he was not writing any exam, he was not attending classes. In fact, he went to a wrong company of students. After 4 years, he comes back home without writing any exam. Father is furious because so much of money is spent. It is terrible for a father, right? Okay, God forbid anything like that happens with my children, but I have not felt that pain. Amma knows the pain, okay, of what that is. Amma was one who shed tears for him. He did not know the Lord, and then it went on that way. But what I want to tell you is, to cut the story short, many years ago, later, unknown to us, he came to know the Lord through FMBB ministry. Okay, he was involved, we didn't know, he's a quiet person. He came to know Christ. And then his life began to change. And then we began to see the living Jesus Christ doing the mighty work of restoring lost years. And he brought that story in front of George Matthew the Great and showed him. You know how? With all these things that I have learned and studied in the best college and institute, there is a particular level. I was in the company and earning certain things and everything is there. But Prashob, within about 5 years, he never cleared engineering. He went on to do some private course in BBA, started a marketing job on his own, door to door, hard work, under the sun. And one step at a time, I don't have time to tell you, but you just see the hand of God when God says, you are mine, my child. Have you read in Joel, in my book, Joel? Have you read that, you know, I restore the years which the locusts have eaten in your life? You just don't want to believe me, do you? Would you just believe me? The God, I am the God who created time. I am beyond time and space. We speak about it in apologetics. But let's leave that word apologetics. Come back and say, God is saying, see, you must believe that I work outside of time. Then why is your mind limited to believe and think that it has to happen within time zone? I restore lost years. Prashok came to Bombay, stayed with us in our house because that was God's plan to bring him there. He joined the job there. That also by the grace of God. The story, if you tell, you know exactly. God just placed it in his hand. And when he came to Bombay, he was drawing a higher salary than I was drawing. I am excited about that. I tell the story wherever I go. He doesn't know. Okay, he will be embarrassed. If he's here, I won't tell you the story. But I want to tell you, beloved, that those are instances when God has taught me clear in my face, saying, George, I know you know Joel, that book which says that, you know, I can restore lost years. But I also want to show you, because in the days ahead, you have to apply your faith. You're not trusting me enough. But this is what I do, you know. And then like the psalmist, you go and say, yes, this is what we glorify God. We say we will talk about his wondrous works when we meet together. And these are the works and testimonies that we have to talk about. To say this is what the Bible says like this. This is what God did. He is faithful in his word. He is setting us free. He is delivering us. He is blessing us. So come back. We are closing here, beloved. My point is, when you go back here today and continue to think, please ask Jesus, what is it, Jesus, you want me to take away from this today? Lord, I place my heart before you, Lord. I am hard-hearted. Please make it soft. Please pray that prayer. I might have pride in my mind and my heart, which I do not know. Lord, if it is there, please humble me, but do it graciously, because don't hurt me. And that's a prayer, okay? Jeremiah 10:24, you go and see, that's a prayer Jeremiah prays. He says, do it graciously, otherwise you will make me bring me to nothing. Right? You can pray that. God hears, imagine what a God we serve. Then God, you can tell, can't we come to Him? And say, God changed my life. And say, I want to be a useful citizen of God's kingdom, in the kingdom of, in India, because you made me to be here. I want to be your citizen living here until you're coming. When you come, I'm going to come there with you forever. And I am your citizen anyway, here or there. I wait for that appearing. Lord, this is not the place. This is not my, this is my temporary tent. You know, in Hebrews 13, it says, just before that verse, 15, just before 15, what does it say?
Ask for you.
Yes. Yes, here we have no continuous city. Just before that, you know what it says? Jesus Christ was taken outside the camp, okay, outside of Jerusalem, and He was crucified. It was also a representation of what God prophesied in the Old Testament. And He says, therefore, come on, let's proudly, our Savior went out, let's go and face the abuse with Him. Abuse meaning what? The sufferings with Him. Meaning what? When you say, I'm a believer, you will have suffering. Some people will laugh at you. Some things you will lose. Some friends you will lose. Some pain you will have. When you stand, take a stand and say, I want to marry a believer, and wait, some years will be lost, but God will restore that. God will give you. Right? Some job you might lose, God will give you. Some time you might lose, God will give you. But that's a suffering. But then you look at the Savior. My Jesus suffered. Perfect, sinless. And so, who am I to have any better treatment? But we do it joyfully, not as a sadist, right? We just say, oh my Lord, I'm going back to that. Say, I have nothing except to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there some way I can show my gratitude to you? And so ask Jesus and say, what change can I bring? Youngsters, children, elderly people, pastor, we all need that. Jesus is alive. I want to stop with that. I want to read this 2 Timothy chapter 2. Recently God was reminding me. Can somebody read that? It's a very simple thing. It's a kind of strange verse. 2 Timothy 2:8. Can somebody just read that?
Remember, yeah. Jesus
Christ. Okay. He's saying something to Timothy, you know, kind of encouraging him and saying, kind of strive and go ahead. And then he says, remember, Timothy, what is it?
Remember Jesus Christ.
Okay, so when you say remember Jesus Christ, the first thing that for us should be salvation and the cross and things like that, or a lot of other things, right? But it says something, it focuses our attention, saying, remember Jesus Christ? Risen from the dead. And then?
The offspring of David.
That's it. And then?
As preached in my gospel.
He almost summarized the gospel in just those two words. I still don't know whether that is sufficient gospel, but I just know that he says, as preached in my gospel, Jesus Christ risen and Son of David. No wonder Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Brother Anil, you had quoted that a few weeks back when you were praying, 1 Corinthians 15:19, you know what it says? If for this life alone you have hoped in Christ, you are of all men most to be pitied. If for this life only you have hoped in Christ, you are of all men most to be pitied. The whole story is lost. You don't understand the gospel. It's not for this life. It's for that lasting city. This life, you are a sojourner. But this life is worth it because Jesus saved you. He makes you His citizen. He makes you a good citizen of India. And you will be a blessed one. You will be a good citizen in your home. You will be a good child. You will be a good husband, good father. And God will use you. You will be a good employer and employee. And you will be a good neighbor. And God will do that. God will do that. We just need to hand over our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can go on and on, but you got the point, beloved. We need to come to Him and respond. You know the difference between a dead body and a live body? How do you check a person is dead or not? Doctors, I'm not a doctor. You got to do something, otherwise you don't know if he's dead, right? Poke him. What did they do to Jesus? They didn't have ECG, EEG at all that time. So what did? They used that... pokes him, right? Okay. Even if he's dead, he'll know, otherwise water will come and things like that, right? Beloved, we are not dead. What's the difference? Only one thing, response. Alive means response. Dead means no response. respond to the message that you hear, respond to the word of God you have heard today. Beloved, it doesn't matter how old you are in faith, how young you are in faith, it doesn't matter. It speaks to me. When I came, I prayed, Lord, speak to me. I always pray that prayer. Lord, speak the message to me. And you won't believe this. When I go back, it rings in me again and again. I keep rewinding on what I spoke. And some of it just, it's as though I'm looking at the mirror and the word coming back to you. And I love that. I want that, because that keeps me in check. Because what profit is it if I share all this to you and live a life that is useless, no connection with what I'm saying? No use. It's empty. We better leave all this and go and do a better job. That's not the truth. Respond to the gospel. Respond to the truth. What you have heard today is the word of God. Receive it for what it is. And you turn to Him and say, in your closed room, you say, Jesus, speak to me. Jesus, let the word dwell in me. Jesus, let that reside in me. Change my heart. Change my ways. You can do it. You are gracious. You love me. You care for me. You have forgiven my sins. Respond to that. Use me more. You have used me this much. Use me more. Make me. Mold me. Shall we all stand up? That's the only way you can stop me from speaking. Can I ask the choir just to sing that song that we sang for the breaking of bread? Lead me to the cross. Sorry, I didn't tell you earlier. Just sing that, thank you. And then we'll just sing, and then I'll request pastor to close. But please reflect. May the Holy Spirit continue to speak to you. I have asked that to the Lord, so that's why I confidently tell you that as you continue to think about it, God will bless you. God will teach you. God will encourage you. God will encourage me also. God will encourage the children also. Learn to listen. Doesn't matter how hard it is that we talk from here, but listen. Ask God. Ask God, saying, God, speak to me. I want to also understand. Come back to pastor and ask him, I didn't understand. Can you explain to me? Let him have a hard time. Right? Tell him. He will spend time to tell you. Children, don't neglect. You are sitting here during the message because the word of God has to come to you as well. And there's something that you will receive. And everyone as well. Can we sing and let's give our heart to the Lord. Recommit, strengthen, pray. And then we'll ask pastor to pray and close.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your spirit and love amidst us this morning.